Know what to eat, but find yourself not eating it. Perhaps you've been on diets and off again, and just wonder why you can't stick to them. The Eating For You podcast, hosted by me, Sally Ann Pisk, will show you what's been missing so you can enjoy a healthier way of eating that lasts. Hi, Sally Ann back with you today, and I'm very excited to welcome back Angela Mills, our resident fitness expert. Welcome, Angela.
Hello, Sally Ann, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm particularly interested in our topic today because the festive season, the holiday period is fast approaching.
Oh, yes, I think it's here already.
So, yes, well, some ladies have been saying that to me as well, and it's like we can share some tips to help everyone stay moving, enjoy movement, and the festive period. So we'll get underway.
Okay. And I think our focus is going to be today on the getting away from it all. The fact, not so much about the festivities around Christmas, because we have chatted about that. And no doubt we will talk about it again. But more about the fact that many of us tend to use this time of year to go away. And whether it's traveling to explore places, or whether it's traveling to a destination, maybe by the beach or somewhere different from home, just to get a break from
everyday life.
Yeah, it's just that time of year when it feels like we have to, we often do get away.
And that's a bit of a warning. We're not going to be encouraging you to do anything crazy with your exercise during the holiday period, because it is a time to rest and relax as well. And so that's part of the whole planning.
Well, yes, but I think there's also an element of planning that's needed in order to actually be able to enjoy the holidays and also feel that especially if you are exercising regularly, that the disruption to your routine isn't something that makes you totally fall off the tracks.
Yes.
So that somehow you find that happy midpoint between still maintaining some physical activity, maintaining your fitness while you're away, but without feeling that you really have to work on it. You don't have that degree of discipline and dedication that you would.
And I think it's something that comes up in my discussion with ladies as well about the whole eating thing as well, is that if we build movement and mindful eating into our day, then when we travel, it kind of naturally happens, because we really experience the benefit of looking after ourselves in that way. So I'm keen to hear some of the benefits, especially for the holiday season, to keep moving.
Okay, well, as many of us know, it tends to be it can be a stressful time. Just the whole fact that you're away from your normal routine, your normal environment, and being able to maintain your physical health over this period is quite important. Just in terms of maintaining, your cardiac function, your flexibility, your strength, your aerobic capacity. You don't want to be coming back in a few weeks' time feeling that you've moved backwards with it as well. So that's quite important. But there are many, many other elements to it. Being able to manage your stress even while you're away from home, and physical activity is a big factor in actually allowing you to do that, maintaining your energy levels so that even while you are away from home, you do have that stamina and that drive to go out and explore and make the most of the locations that you're at.
And we forget, like we're always very excited to go on holidays, but there is that element of stress, just settling into a new place if you haven't been there before, or, finding your way around and enjoying yourself. Even sometimes you can be stressed because you want to enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. And the thing is that it opens, incorporating that physical activity opens up so many different opportunities to explore places. For instance, walking. It always amazes me, because I don't tend to go out and walk, say, from A to B very often. I'll do a bushwalk where there's an element of destination. But sometimes when we're on holiday, I realise that we will walk for kilometres and kilometres, and without even realising it, just how far we walk. And there's joy in it because you're exploring, so it's not quick, let's put my stopwatch on and just see how fast I can do this. It's leisurely walking quite often, but there's an element of exploration and getting to places, which is great. It's incidental.
And it's so true, because you get to see things and experience things on foot that you don't from a car.
Absolutely.
You might have a conversation with someone or, in nature, obviously, we see much more when we're in the national park rather than driving through it. I love those benefits too.
Yeah, you just really get a sense of the buzz of a place, I think, when you're in there, you know, and that what better way to actually do it than to just, you know, explore it in that respect as well. But also the other thing too is, we holidays are often associated with indulgences of the culinary type, you know, and you want to experience new foods and things when you're away somewhere. And the, having the physical activity also helps you to balance that as well, because, you know, if you're enjoying something that's slightly out of your normal, type of food that you're eating, at least you're feeling that you're balancing it. It's not just something that you're you're regretting, you know, because nothing worse than having regrets on holiday.
No, and I just like to add in there too, I think with our food, and it depends, you know, we're all different, we're all, you know, varied in terms of our body's response and our mind's response to food, but as much as possible keep a routine to your eating that works for you at home. So for me, for example, if I have my main meal at lunchtime when I'm traveling, that really suits me because that's what I do at home. Yes. And I find it doesn't always work out that way. And I have something smaller and then I'm looking for snacks during the afternoon because I'm hungry because I didn't eat enough at lunchtime. Yeah. So honor your body and what it's telling you about that eating routine that works for you. And, you know, ladies in my community that are listening will also know the downside of actually eating too much. It just is not pleasurable anymore.
No, it's not. Yeah. And even while you're away, you know, the last thing you want is that sense of heaviness.
That's right.
Because then you don't want to move.
No, so you become the couch potato.
It's like a vicious circle, isn't it? You just get into that element of slump.
Yes.
And that's the one thing that we definitely don't want when we're on holiday. We want to have energy and vitality and the rest of it.
Yeah.
And to go hand in hand quite a lot as well. I mean, the other thing too is that when you think back on holidays and traveling, it's the places that you go to that you remember as much as anything. And you want to have the type of holiday where you're creating memories. Mm-hmm. And you only do that by being active and getting out there and visiting places as well.
Yeah. And definitely seeing as much as you can on foot. You know, I think about some of my amazing holidays, you know, years back, you know, in Paris, I can remember where we were staying. It was about a 10-kilometer walk, you know, to and from the Eiffel Tower. And I think I did it every day for 5 days.
And you don't even think about it, do you? Because you've already got yourself to a level of fitness where it doesn't feel like such a strain. Mm. But also there's just so many visual and auditory much stimulation.
Yeah. I used to walk, you know, past, you know, food stalls and bookshops and patisseries and just seeing the local people going about
and
their day. Day-to-day life as well.
Busyness it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be there in it and have the privilege of being in there in places that are out of your comfort zone a little bit as well. Exploring as well. Yeah. But, you know, and I think one thing that we're sort of, I'm hoping is getting across is that it doesn't have to be very regimented what you do. It doesn't have to be extreme. You know, if you enjoy doing really difficult workouts, then you can still be very active, but without feeling that you have to, you know, tick that off your list of things for the week. You know, you can relax.
But not only that, you know, a lot of hotels and resorts these days, they have gyms available as well. So, you know, that's often an avenue. Like, I am not a gym person, so I find it a little bit strange that people like to exercise inside, but everyone's different.
Just for record, I quite like exercising inside.
I know you do.
No, I do. And that's the thing. We're all different, aren't
that's
we?
That's right.
But also, I mean, you mentioned the hotels, and that's a real benefit for people that like indoor, you know, exercise to stay at a hotel. But then you might argue, there are definitely benefits to staying somewhere where it's self-contained, because then you have a lot more freedom with what you're eating.
Yes.
So you can really make sure that if the local cuisine doesn't quite fit your body's nutritional needs, then you can supplement it yourself.
That's right.
And you can take advantage of the local markets, because most places have got markets these days.
Yeah. So having said that, you know, I'm just reflecting on places I've lived and also visited, that sometimes the weather can dictate where you choose to move as well. Like I remember times when I lived in Dunedin in New Zealand, like through winter to stay fit for skiing, I had to go to a gym because there was black ice on the roads in the morning when I walked to work.
That's right. Yeah.
And then, you know, I have, you know, clients around Australia, and in summer it's really hot. So
you're not going to go outside.
Exactly.
Or you become selective about the time of day that you do these things.
That's
either do your walking early in the morning or in the twilight. And that's where going walking out to dinner is quite lovely.
And home from dinner in the evening is lovely.
Yes, that's right. Which is wonderful because then you get to feel like your metabolism is just going to work that little bit faster to digest your food and so on, which is lovely.
That's certainly something in a few times I've visited Europe and been able to walk to the restaurant, in the evening and walking home. Where we live in, I love where I live, but there's nowhere I'd be walking at night home from dinner.
So it'd be a long walk for us. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think that's something. And it's been selecting accommodation, selecting places to stay that are within walking distance of, say, restaurants or attractions or beaches or good walks, so really, trying to sort of set up your holiday. I mean, the planning stage of a holiday is really quite important in that respect, you set up what type of holiday you're going to have. So you don't want to ever be somewhere and feel regret that you can't move or you can't do this, can't do that, because you didn't plan it in that respect.
But look, even if I think about, we were talking about beachside holidays, there's places along the east coast of Australia that you wouldn't want to have a car.
Yes.
To have, because you can't find a car space.
That's very true.
That's a very practical thing, I'm thinking even a few years back when I lived in Sydney, we didn't live near a beach, and I can remember weekends driving around trying to find a car space, and you just couldn't.
Yeah. But, there's something else about that too, because quite often, you especially for beach holidays, because I love beach holidays, you always think about, oh, it'd be so lovely to have something right on the beach.
Yeah.
And often these are the places that are most expensive, they book out first, you can't get them.
Yeah.
And then finding something that is a good 10-minute walk or a 15-minute walk from the beach is actually doing you a lot of favours in the long term, because it gives you, you're getting that incidental exercise just on the way to the beach every day, which you wouldn't otherwise get if it was just on your doorstep.
No, that's right.
So you're not being one of those people that just walks out the door, slumps the towel down and does nothing on the beach. You want to incorporate some activity into it as much as you can.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is, taking bikes with you on holidays, is a great way to use that as a means of transport rather than relying on a car, which is
great. And sometimes you can hire bikes as well. We've done that on holidays.
Increasingly, which is great. Or canoes, going to places where you can hire canoes for the day if you don't have your own, which most of us don't. Yeah.
No.
It's just a really lovely way to get to experience an area, by water on your, at your speed.
That's
right.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
No, that's right. Look, the other thing too is that, and I have to say, it may not become under our cultural banner as much, but I love when I'm away on holiday finding where the local Pilates or yoga classes are and trying to schedule that into my holiday. It feels very virtuous to do that. And also it's really always quite lovely to be able to experience a different type of workout, different type of instructor of what you're used to at home.
No, I've certainly taken yoga classes while traveling, and I've really enjoyed it because it's that guidance, through the program, the exercise, and also being with other people. When you travel with your partner or with your family, you may not mix with that many other people, but when you're in a class like that, you get to have a talk, have a bit of a laugh, and it's quite a nice experience.
Yeah, it's a nice way. And also, I know quite often, because you end up talking to people more often than not, and I know many times you find out about the best local restaurant to go to, or have you been up to that lookout? It's like, no, it's not on my travel book. Well, and people will tell you, the hidden gems and things. It's another opportunity to actually liaise with the people that live locally as well.
Yeah. And like you said, know those secrets.
Yeah. I should also mention the world of apps that we're in now and the opportunities that gives us, because I'm one of those people that tracks my steps every day. and then again on holidays, I usually have no trouble getting my steps, but I love the fact that, you can actually get a good step count because you're out and you're moving as well. That's pretty good.
And it can be quite surprising. Especially in big cities.
Yes.
Just walking from place to place, 28,000 steps. Where did they come from?
I know. And that's the thing. If you might be working in a city, quite often you don't step that much because you sort of get to your office and you're stuck at your desk for much of the time. Whereas when you're on holiday, you're seeing different sides of a place, a city, and that's really quite a good way to get your steps up. Oh, and then there's also a lot of these apps where you can actually track your route. Or you, yeah. Firstly, you can plan your route.
Yes.
So you can decide, you know, you can actually on these apps, you decide your sightseeing and what what order you're going to do your walking in or your cycling in.
Yeah.
But then also you can look back and it's almost a memento of what you did.
Yeah,
yeah,
nice.
Which is quite good. Yeah. So there's lots of ways to stay active.
Yes. And like you said, a lot of them are really simple, but some may take some planning before we actually go on holidays in terms of, well, do I want to be this close? Do I need a car? It changes what you do and perhaps, you know, how you pack to go away, because that's always important too, isn't it, in terms of what exercise or fitness gear we take with us on holidays. Like a yoga mat normally goes with me.
Same here. I always, my husband always asks, are we taking the yoga mat? Yes, we are. We used it last time. We're going to use it again. So it will get used. And even resistance bands, you know, little things which don't take up a lot of space. A resistance band takes no room in a bag to have that with you. And even if you don't have a yoga mat, if you're staying somewhere, chances are you've got a carpeted area. Yeah. Or a mat where you can sort of, you know, lie down if you need to just do a bit of stretching, you know, whatever your body needs, or just something to make you a bit more mobile in the mornings.
Actually, just on that, one thing, if we're doing a road trip or even a domestic holiday that requires a flight, we often take our own pillows because, you know, I'm sitting here today doing neck stretches. You can't see me doing it, but
I can see it.
Yeah, it's like, if the bed's not as comfortable or you don't sleep as well, then you're not going to feel like moving or enjoying your holiday as well. Yeah. So that's just a little thing. We generally make space to take a pillow that we know we can sleep well on.
That's a good idea. It's probably worth talking a little bit about how we can reset ourselves when we're on holidays. Mm. In that, I think the sleep is a big part of it, because often we're, you know, we get to our holiday or to our travel and we're so exhausted by the time we get there. Many people catch a cold as soon as they go on holiday because their immune system is just so compromised getting to this point.
Yeah.
And I think it's one thing that I'm acutely aware of, because it's happened to me a few times in the past. And I find it's quite important to manage stress levels leading up to holidays, because you're trying to get so many things, you know, you're trying to, if you're working, you're trying to make sure that your work's covered while you're away. You're trying to make sure that the pets have got their accommodation booked, or whoever's looking after them knows what they're doing. You've got to make sure that things don't fall through the cracks in terms of bills that are going to be due while you're away.
Yes.
All these things and being able to even just plan well before the last, you know, few weeks before you go away is quite important to make sure you don't get to that point of
exhaustion.
Exhaustion.
I can remember, not so much lately, but I can remember previously nearly having all-nighters the first, you know, the last few nights before you go away, just to get everything done so you can go on the holiday. And then, as you said, you're exhausted when you get there.
But while you're on holiday, it's a great opportunity to try and reset your body, you know, from all those daily stresses and, you know, that you have in your normal life, you know, making sure you do sleep properly, making sure that you're not rushed in your eating. So you're really getting more of that chance to savor your food.
I'm for that one.
Finding joy in the movement, the fact that you are walking to places.
Outside.
Yeah, sunshine, you're getting outside, you're getting vitamin
forests.
D. You know, it's such a wonderful, you know,
beaches.
I just want to go on holiday now.
Yes, and I would probably go to the beach as well, especially since we're heading for a summer holiday.
Yes, at this time, yes. No, in fact, in about 4 weeks' time, and I'm counting down the days where we're going on a beach holiday with my hubby, so I'm quite looking forward to that as well. But it is a really good way to actually just get yourself back into a point of getting yourself onto a healthy routine.
Like you said, it's like a bit of a reset, a rebalance. But of course, then we have to think about what we're going to do when we come back from the holiday, don't we?
Yes. And I find that planning what you're going to do when you come back, even before you go on a holiday, can help. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've usually have your regular exercise classes or a usual, you know, sort of, you know, Pilates or a private session, booking that first session or that first class before you go away, so that you know that you've got a plan of action when you come back.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and I think something like that is quite important, to know what your plans are going to be when you come back. How are you going to slot back into your routine? Because it's very easy to fall off the, you know, once you've broken that routine, you don't want to get to the position where you're having to really work hard to get back into that routine, because we all know how hard it is to set new routines. And if you've got a routine, that this reset period is going, should reinforce
that
your
routine.
Existing routine rather than, you know, setting you up to have to feel that you're starting all over again.
That's right. And that's always the hard thing is getting started for most people.
That's right. Yeah.
Certainly, you know, in our community, we've been looking at the constitution types or the Ayurvedic doshas recently. And, you know, for most of the dominant types of doshas, you know, getting started is quite difficult. Oh. You know, for some people, getting started, finishing something is great. For others, getting started is okay, but following through is not. Mm-hmm. So having all those strategies in to support you, you'll know. You'll know if you're a good starter, but you don't finish or you find it hard to get going. Mm-hmm. So like what you've said, Angela, you know, if you know that it's hard to reestablish that routine when you get back home again, then book it ahead. Yeah, make sure it's in place before you get back from holidays.
And there's an element of being able to enjoy your holiday a bit more. If you've got peace of mind that you know how you're going to get back on track, you don't have to get to the end of your holiday and dread the fact that this is happening. It's all you've already done all the hard work. All you have to do is just enjoy yourself and just turn up when you said you were going to turn up.
That's right. Yeah. So one thing, Angela, before we finished up, we didn't touch on about, you know, helping us to maintain movement that we enjoy over the holiday periods and, you know, online, you know, programs, classes, and, you know, tell us a little bit about what ladies can access with online
Fit and Fabulous online.
Online. Yeah. I can't remember which way the online went. No, it's not online Fit and Fabulous, it's Fit and Fabulous online.
Which happens to be online, yes. I'm glad you mentioned that as well, because one of the things that I also do, because I also, you know, subscribe to online classes and memberships, and I love that because sometimes, you know, you still want to get your workout in, but for whatever reason, you can't make it to your regular class or something. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, having the online membership is quite good because it's so inexpensive compared to going to class, you know, live classes. Yeah. And you can have it there for, even if you don't do it every day, you've got it there for that one or that two times a fortnight when you know you're not going to get to your regular classes. And when you go away on holiday, you've got this at your access as well. So you've got classes that you can do. If you've got it, if you're staying in a lovely place, and, you know, often, you know, some, especially with a lot of the Airbnbs or hotels with lovely views, I mean, taking your yoga mat out and doing an online class in a beautiful location that's very beautiful. Different to where you would ordinarily do it is quite lovely, you know, and it sets you up for the days exploring ahead of you or a nice way to wind down the day after if you've been out earlier in the day and, you know, and it's getting hot outside, so you come back into the coolness of your accommodation and do that. So so in that respect, I know that many of my, you know, ladies that are in my membership take advantage of their own way, because I know that there's always, you know, I can tell that a lot of people have viewed it. You know, we get stats, so we know how many people have done the workouts. Yeah. And I know over the Christmas period, especially when my studio is closed as well and other people's usual, you know, fitness places are closed, people do go back to their online classes a lot more as well.
So, Angela, how do people find out about your online programs?
Okay, well, my website is called fitandfabulous.com.au. So that's all spelled out, you know, the fit and fabulous. And if you go on there and if you click on the top banner where it says online classes, from there it'll actually take you to a page where you can actually look at it. There's an introductory offer at the moment where you get your first week free, so you can get to try it for a week before you commit to pay. And then you can actually join on there. And it's one of those things where you pay a regular subscription, which is only a fraction of what it would cost for normal, you know, going to normal classes or private sessions. And then you've got access to a library of probably close to 100 videos now. Some of them are longer, some of them are just short, even 10 or 15 minutes long, and a lot of them focus on different areas, you know, whether it's just working on the abs or working on stretching or working on upper body strength or just having a real quick full body, you know, sort of like 15 minutes, work your whole body, you know, so you come out of it feeling, you know, really quite mobile and flexible and strong.
Realigned
and you're standing taller as well. So a lot of it is very much just, you know, just it's almost like we're just trying to make sure that we're just realigning our body and now so our body is moving well.
No, that's great. I'll make sure the link to your website is provided with this episode. So ladies can find that very easily because I love having access to online things as well. So it supplements what I do, and especially that all over fitness, that all over body stretching, that realignment, I find is really, beneficial.
Yeah, it is lovely. It's lovely being able to do it when it works in for your routine as well.
Exactly. That's perfect. Thanks, Angela, for sharing. And I think I better start planning a beach holiday as well.
I'm already making my list. Thank you very much for having me again on the program, Sally.
Most welcome. I know our community really appreciates your time and the tips that you share on these podcasts. So, Angela, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks everyone for listening, and if you have enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and family on your social media pages, and we look forward to sharing with you again next week. You have been listening to the Eating For You podcast with Sally-Ann Pisk. If a long-term way of healthier eating is of interest to you, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast.